Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing it today, going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 3, which says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." So we spend a couple episodes looking at the aspect of what is sanctification, speaking about how the scriptures identify that there is a positional sanctification and a practical sanctification, and how Paul, here in chapter number 4, is speaking about some of the practical things in the life of a believer here, identifying the fact that once a person has put their trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and a person putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today, that once that happens, and the person has their positional sanctification, that as they study the Word of God and take the doctrine in, that it would have the impact on the practical side of things. And so here we have Paul speaking here about the things that these saints should be doing in their life. And it's always a thing, as we speak about these practical things, that we remember that this is a issue of it being a should. And when we get to that word here in this verse, which is where we're at right now, we see how that this is an idea of, it's not a requirement for an individual to say, okay, I have to do this, like how things were under the law, that when the law was in place with the nation of Israel, that if they didn't do this, then there were going to be some consequences that could happen to them, whether they faced the chastisement of the Lord, whether they, you know, lost their salvation. Some of the things would actually lead to a death actually occurring with them. But we see how Paul, the very first thing that he's getting into with them, speaking about, you know, what it is that they should be doing, it says, abstain from fornication. So the idea of abstain, and we'll just very quickly, we're going to read the Webster's 1828 dictionary definition of the word abstain, which says, in a general sense, to forbear or refrain from voluntarily, but used chiefly to denote a restraint upon the passions or appetites. Do refrain from indulgence. And then a verse that actually goes along with that is Acts chapter 15, verse 29. To abstain from the use of ardent spirits, to abstain from luxuries. So the key issue of what we're seeing here in this idea of abstain is the thing of that there is a voluntary decision that the individual is making to say, I'm not going to participate in whatever it is that they're making the decision to abstain from. You know, and this is why you don't actually see this word actually used in Israel's program in time past, because it wasn't really the idea of that they had a voluntary aspect of things. There was a thing of it was truly a requirement. And it'll be that same requirement that we will see in the ages to come of where, like, for example, we go over to James chapter number 2, just to show quickly how the idea of even in the ages to come and why an individual cannot say that the book of James is for us today. Now, we know from the very beginning of the book of James, it says that's written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. We are not the 12 tribes, so that's the first thing that makes it clear that we are not part of this program here that's being spoken of. But here in chapter number 2, let's read verse number 10, which says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So the individual, they'll be putting themselves under the law, which is exactly what's going on here in the book of James, that if a person broke one part of the law, they were guilty of the whole thing. Now, most people take and say that the law is just the Ten Commandments, but that the law is more than just the Ten Commandments. There are over 600 different parts of the law covering the whole life of an individual. And if a person broke even one part of the law, they were guilty of the whole thing. So even what we would say are some of those minor aspects of what you see that's in the law system, you know, for example, wearing a piece of clothing that's made of two different fibers, that's part of the law system, that a person was forbidden from doing that. You know, and most of our clothing today is made of two different fibers. So every individual, whether they're knowing it or not, is breaking the things of the law system. Now, people say, well, you know, those ones don't matter. It's only the big ones. And God makes it clear that a person has to do all of the things of the law. That's why you get into the whole discussion later on in this same chapter, in James chapter 2, about faith without works is dead, because faith had to accompany works in Israel's program. It's only what we see the Apostle Paul talking about, an individual having faith only being the issue. We go over to Romans chapter number 4. And we see how Paul says this here in Romans 4. We're going to read here starting at verse 4. It says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." And the whole issue becomes that it's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that's the issue, not the faith of the believer, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that took care of the law. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that took care of that issue of sin and opened it up for the aspect of where it's no longer a thing of a requirement that we are going to have to do this or else, that there are things of a liberty that we have. And that's why you see Paul using those terms, talking about the liberty that we have. Let's go over to the book of Galatians. I'm going to go here to Galatians chapter number 5. And we see here how he begins this section here when he says in verse 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So the individuals that the Apostle Paul's writing to here, he's identifying the fact that they now have a liberty that has made them free. They're not part of this yoke of bondage, what he had identified in chapter 3 when he was talking about how, you know, the individuals had bewitched them, had brought something back from the dead in their eyes, and gets into a discussion about the fact of the things of the law attempting to be put back in place, the aspect of that there's a liberty that these individuals have, that they've been made free from this. We see how Paul speaks to the saints in Corinth. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And we're going to see how Paul's going to use these terms here. In a couple different times, he's going to say this to these saints. And he has to kind of keep bringing this up with them in very basic terms, because, you know, as he identifies and is said, he can only give them the milk at this point, the basics of things, because they have not reached the spiritual maturity that is necessary. So he has to keep bringing up the aspects of, you know, what's going on, so that way they can finally grasp what it is that he's been trying to tell them as he has been ministering to these individuals. So as he gets into this discussion, we're going to pick up here in verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, where he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortions, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." So as Paul's getting into this discussion of these things, you see how he's identifying the fact that, you know, it's lawful for him to do any of these things. There's a thing of it's not expedient. There's an aspect of it could be put under the power of those things, and how he's saying that, you know, I will not be brought under the power of any. Let's go over to chapter number 10, and we'll see how he states this to them again here in chapter number 10, and he's going to add in an aspect here when he says in verse number 23 of chapter 10, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." So there's an aspect of the edification that's going to occur as a result of, you know, whatever it is that an individual is doing. So what Paul is saying to these saints is, you know, you have the liberty to go ahead and do whatever it is that you want. There's no law system that's preventing you from doing these things. It's the idea of that it's not going to be edifying to everyone that is seeing you, do these things, that individuals are going to be impacted by this liberty that they're seeing because they don't have the understanding of what's going on. They look and see, for example, as we go over to the book of Philippians, and let's go to Philippians chapter number 2. And we see how as Paul is writing to these saints in Philippi, and this is getting later into his ministry. He's sitting in a prison cell writing to this assembly here. And you see how he says in chapter 2, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So that's the goal of what somebody is supposed to be doing, is that they would be a light unto the things of the world. And in order to do that, that means that a person has to be separate from some of the things of this world. Because if a person is part of the things that are going on in the world, they can't exactly be a light unto individuals. So there has to be an abstaining from various aspects of the things of the world system that allows for the believer to be seen as this light, be separate from that crooked and perverse nation. You know, and as I always say, when we look at this verse, it's not very hard to look at the world and see it being described in the manner that Paul is saying it, the crooked and perverse nation with it. And in order to be that light, that there has to be a thing of abstaining, voluntarily going away from those things. And you know, that's one of those things of when people say, well, we just need to keep passing laws that prevent people from doing those things. Well, all that is going to happen is that people are going to gravitate towards other things. You put a law in place and say, well, don't do this. Okay, well, now I'm going to run over. I'm going to do this. Rather than the idea of, you know, we have that liberty and we need to voluntarily make the decision based on the understanding of the doctrine that we have. So as we've taken the doctrine in, we've studied the shoe thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've had that renewing of the mind that occurs with the aspect of, you know, taking the doctrine in, it creates a change in who we are. So that way we can have that voluntary choice of, okay, I'm going to either do these things or not do these things, and I should abstain from it, but I have the liberty to actually make that decision of what I'm supposed to do. It's why you see, as Paul writes, let's go to Ephesians chapter number 2. And we see how as Paul's writing to the saints at Ephesus, you know, he's speaking about who they are. You know, and everyone loves to read verses 8 and 9 here of Ephesians chapter 2, because they talk about the salvation that we have when it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And everyone likes to focus on that aspect because it's speaking about the salvation that we have and how our salvation is, you know, has nothing to do with any sort of works-based system, and saying, well, see, Paul's making it clear that we have no works in our life. Now, all we have to do is read the very next verse, and we're going to see how it is that Paul is identifying that we are supposed to be living our life. Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So the aspect of what Paul is saying here is, you know, yes, we don't have works to be part of our salvation. It's not a requirement of things. However, God has ordained that we should walk in good works, that we should do certain things, we should not do certain things. And it's only going to be by the grace of God that we're going to have that understanding. That's why you see Paul writing over in the book of Titus, talking about how the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And it's, you know, teaching us. And when you read verse 12, you see how the context shows that the grace of God teaches us that here's a list of things we shouldn't do, and here's a list of things that we should do. All of it laid out by the grace of God. So it's the grace of God that's giving us the information that we would need to be able to say, here's what we should be abstaining from in our life if we're going to be that light unto the world. And you see, if we go over to Colossians chapter number 1, we're going to see how Paul is going to pray for these saints here. And we're going to pick up here in verse number 9 of Colossians chapter 1. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness." So we see how, as Paul is praying for these individuals, and, you know, we're to follow Paul as he followed Christ. So when we see Paul praying for individuals, this gives us an idea of how we should actually pray in our life. That the aspect of the very first thing that we see the Apostle Paul praying for is the fact that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will. So he doesn't pray for, you know, well, they're going to receive all sorts of, you know, physical blessings. He doesn't pray for, you know, all the various things that we see that individuals really want to focus on and say that that's what we should be praying for individuals. You know, yes, we are to pray for all things, but we see how Paul shows that the first thing that he prayed for with them was the fact that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So he prays that they would have that growth of the knowledge of the things of the Word of God. So that way the end result of that growth of knowledge would be what we see in verse number 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So the idea that they would grow in that knowledge, that way they could then be doing the things that God has laid out in the doctrine, so that they would be pleasing unto God. This is what Paul sees as his responsibility. And by that, we should be praying for individuals in that same manner. Now, next week, we're going to actually look at how Paul says that he should abstain, and then he gives the example of what he's telling them that they should be abstaining from. He says about them abstaining from fornication. So we're going to spend some time talking about the aspect of fornication and what it is that Paul is speaking about with them. So as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts in order to help you with your study of God's Word. We have some information about, you know, how to join our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments on anything in our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.